I mean, I live in a neighborhood, it's probably 80 to 90% African American. A lot of young men who are sort of off the grid. You know, they're not applying for jobs, they don't have resumes, but they have loads of potential and talent, and they feel disconnected from the system. So you can just throw out that number and say, oh, 50% unemployment, you guys should do something about that. Or you can actually get to know Skyler, who lives across the street from me, who has these great cooking skills, and I was able to take him to MATC. Now he has a culinary degree. You know, there are suburbanites who sort of kind of spew out this hatred and bitterness toward the city. There are people in the city who spew out hatred and bitterness toward the suburbs. None of that is productive. And I think you have to enter in to each situation and look at everyone as an individual with strengths and challenges.
I think as a Milwaukee and someone who works in the city, someone who owns a property in the city but is a suburbanite, I have to look realistically at these numbers. And I think we all sitting around this table here, and there's so many people doing such positive things that want to focus on the bright spots. How far does that go? And is that really going to change these numbers? I mean, think about the dollars and the resources that are allocated towards all of these programs, where I think people aren't talking about how do we really solve the issue.
I think it's difficult to get on the same page because I think there's a lot of people who don't live in Milwaukee who've kind of viewed it as a failed project, that deindustrialization or deunionization and all the problems that are befitting one half of the city, almost a whole half of the city, that we should just throw our hands up in the air. But I also think part of that is a perception issue that's pushed by certain interests, certain media interests, certain political interests, that it benefits them to have Milwaukee be weak, to have Milwaukee be going down. I don't know.
You got to start somewhere. And if we could say education is an issue, if we could say crime is an issue, gun violence is an issue, why can't we identify that one issue and just allocate our resources towards it?
I would say I think there is one issue. I think the issue, at least for me, the key issue is empowerment. And for so long, this country, people have been so scared of specific communities being empowered and not allowing them just to move forward and empower them. What I mean by that is that you rarely hear people say, listen, I can't help you out. I don't have the money, the resources, the time, or I'm just tired out. But listen, you can do this. You have the resources. Even if racism lies alive and well, you know what? Listen, I don't know what it's like to live in the hood, as people would say, but you have the resources to change your community. You never hear that empowerment message. I hear more messages about not smoking as opposed to being a father. You know, I would love to see a commercial that says, you know what, 60% of African-American boys and children won't grow up without a father. We need you to be a father. You don't hear those messages. I would love to see us market those values, those principles, so we don't have to spend another dime on welfare and just say, you know, we took welfare away. And I guess that would be some of my conservatives, brothers and sisters, that would be their dream, which is fine.
I think the biggest thing is more attention to a family atmosphere for the kids. Just a little history for you. In 1963, the black families headed by married couples was 70%. Today, about the reverse is true. As the saying goes, all change in America begins at the dinner table. The kids need to be held accountable for their actions. You know, you can pump all this money into schools, but it's not going to go anywhere if the kids don't straighten their stuff up and pull up their pants.
I think there is some validity, for sure, to what you're saying. At the same time, I mean, I've seen young men in my neighborhood who are going to college. They're doing everything that they're supposed to do.
Sure.
But there's a perception of them where people see them as scary, and people see them as, oh, they may not fit my quote-unquote corporate mold. I just think there's less room for error with African-American men especially.
But a company is going to hire the best qualified candidate.
You would hope.
As a woman. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talk about, you know, pay parity and equality as well. And we had a recent situation where a friend of mine was on a nominating committee for a board position. And they were looking at a number of candidates. One happened to be a woman. And she said, I would love to give this position to the woman, but she wasn't the best qualified candidate. And I think that woman would understand why she wasn't chosen for that position. And I think if it's about the equal opportunity. And I think that really, you know, getting back to some of the points made earlier, is there equal opportunity in the system that we have in place? And, you know, there are people saying no. Some people would say yes. And I think the bigger question is then how do we make that possible?
As a person that stands at the intersection of race and gender And as a person who is from one of the neighborhoods that people skirt, my family's on 19th and Keefe. As a person who is from a fatherless home, our issues in our communities run so much deeper than pulling up your pants. I mean, I hear that so much. I can understand where it comes from, but the whole idea of if you're just respectable enough, things will be different for you, that is not my reality. We have to look much deeper. The root is not in respectability. Poverty is violence.
I totally agree with you. With that being said, my Hispanic brothers and sisters, I think they got us when it comes to this, is that my metaphor is that within the African American community, something happened with the baby boomer generation, with King's generation, where we came up to a stop sign, and we can put that stop sign as racism, we can put that stop sign as anything, even gender issues, social issues. And instead of acknowledging the stop sign, but saying that we're going to put the gas to the pedal and still move forward, we stopped. We got out the car, we looked, and we've been there ever since. And it bothers me when I go to some of these events and I hear, and people, for some reason, especially with the baby boomer generation, they want validation that racism still exists. And my issue is like, so what? It's been here since the beginning of the time. It will be here long gone when we're gone. My problem is that why haven't we said to ourselves, like my Hispanic brothers and sisters have said, that we're going to move forward no matter what? Our own children are dying. Our own children are not being educated. So if you don't like me, if you don't hire me because I'm black, so what? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to at least get up in the morning and sweep my porch. I'm going to at least get up and clean my street. At least I'm going to get up and go to Menards and get some off-color paint for a dollar and paint my porch. When I see brothers hanging on the corners, I get it, man. You don't have a job. That does not mean to give you the right to intimidate people. It doesn't give you the right to treat people with disrespect. It doesn't give you the right to shoot a bus driver in the leg. It bothers me that for some reason, this generation, the baby boomer generation, and every generation afterwards within African American community has got stuck on racism.
Now, I would like to touch on something that Alex has kind of in a roundaway brought up a couple of times, and it's segregation in Milwaukee. We're often cited as one of the most segregated cities in the country. And Alex has said that, you know, I live in a neighborhood that's 90% black. Alex is a white guy, obviously. And so are we really that segregated here? What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think that the census data, you know, reveals one part of the discussion. Just because you have an African-American neighborhood or Latino neighborhood doesn't necessarily mean it's segregated. So it can. One thing that some of the older generation would say to Keith and I when we worked in City Hall, they would say, I like living with black people. I'm more comfortable around black people. So if there are situations where African-Americans are being prevented or dissuaded or disencouraged to move to certain areas or economics are preventing them to have access to certain things, Or vice versa, you know, if a Caucasian person wants to live in an African-American neighborhood and is being discouraged, I mean, that's obviously wrong. And I think there are still some elements of that. But sometimes people want to be around similar people.